Okay, hello everyone. I think this is the start of the Q&A session. So people can just ask me questions here, or I think maybe these questions are going to be read by someone. Yes, thank you. Should I start doing that? Or I also know that there's questions in the Etherpad room, so I could start out answering those as well.
Right, sure, yeah. How, whichever way you prefer. If you prefer to read the questions yourself, by all means, or if you would prefer me to read them to you, that also works.
Oh, I see. Why don't you read them to me? I think it'll just be more interesting then.
Yeah, sure. Okay, let's see. The first question is, what is your use case for embedding, mainly for searching?
Yeah, I mean, I think the use case really is searching. And I think it is very useful when you're searching for something in a vague way. There's just to give you an example, I have a note system called EKG. I type all my notes on it. You can find it on GitHub and Melpa. But I wrote something like at some point, like a year ago or something, I wrote something that I just vaguely remembered, like, oh, this was about a certain kind of communication. I wanted to like communicating to large audiences. Like there's some interesting tip that I wrote down that was like really cool. And I was like, well, I need to find it. So just I did an embedding search for something like, you know, tips for communicating. Like those words may not have been in what I was trying to find at all, but it was able to find it. And that is something that's very hard to do in other ways. Like, you know, if you had to do this with normal search, you'd have to do synonyms, and like maybe those synonyms wouldn't cover it. Like with embedding, you can basically get at like the vague sentiment. You can really query on like what things are about as opposed to what words they have. Also, it's super good for similarity search. So you could say like, look, I have a bunch of things that are encoded with embeddings that I want to show. For example, you can make an embedding for every buffer. You'd be like, well, show me buffers that are similar to this buffer. Like that doesn't sound super useful, but this is the kind of thing you could do. And so like, if you have a bunch of notes or something else that you want to search on, you'd be like, what's similar to this buffer? Or what notes are similar to each other? What buffers are similar to each other? It's super good for this sort of thing. And it's also good for the this kind of retrieval augmented generation where you retrieve things and your purpose is not for you to see them, but then you pass that to the LLM. And then it's able to be a little bit more accurate because it has the actual text that you're trying to, that is relevant and it can cite from and things like that. And then it could give you a much better answer. That's kind of, not just from its own little neural nets and memory.
Cool. Thanks. Let's see. Next question. What do you think about embed Emacs manual versus GPT's Emacs manual?
I'm not exactly sure what this question is trying to say. So, I mean, if someone wrote that and wants to expand on it a little bit, but I think that maybe you're saying like you could have embeddings for like various, like every paragraph or something of the Emacs manual. But it's also the case that like GPT is already for sure already read it, right? And so you could ask questions that are about Emacs and or ELISP or whatever part of the manual you want to find. And it will do a reasonably good job, especially the better models will do a reasonably good job of saying you something that is vaguely accurate. But if you do this retrieval augmented generation with embeddings, you can get something that is very accurate. At least I think, haven't tried it, but like this is a technique that works in other similar cases. So, you can also imagine like, this whole thing I said, like, you can query for, vague things and get parts of the manual, perhaps. I'm not exactly sure if that would be useful, but maybe. Usually when I'm looking things up in the Emacs manual or ELISP manual, I have something extremely specific and I kind of know where to look. But, this is having other ways to get at this information is always good.
Right. Looks like they added a clarification. If you would like to read that yourself, or would you like me to read it for you?
Yes, you. Okay, it says, I've never tried. Yeah, the question is like, okay, there is a difference between the kind of thing as I just described. I have not tried the difference with the Emacs manual itself. It'd be interesting to see what this is, but I would expect like these techniques, the retrieval augmented generation is generally pretty good. And I suspect it would, I would bet money on the fact that it's going to give you, you know, better results than just, you know, doing a freeform query without any retrieval augmented generation.
Cool. Let's see. Next question. When deferring commit messages to an LLM, what, if anything, do you find you might have lost?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. Like there's, when deferring anything to a computer, like, you know, I used to have to remember how to get places. And now, you know, on the few occasions which I drive, like it could just tell me how to get places. So, similar things could occur here where like, okay, I'm just leaving to the LLM. And so I'm kind of missing out on some opportunity to think coherently about a particular commit. Particular commits are kind of low level. I don't think it's usually relatively obvious and what they're doing. And so in this case, I think there's not much loss. But for sure, in other cases, if you're starting to get into situations where it's writing your emails and all this stuff, first of all, it's in one sense, I'm not sure you might be losing something by delegating things. On the other hand, you know, when you're interacting with these LLMs, you have to be extremely specific about what you want, or else it's just not going to do a good job. And that might actually be a good thing. So the question might be that like, maybe you might gain things by using an LLM to do your work. It might not actually even save you that much time, at least initially, because you have to kind of practice and get super specific about what you want to get out of the output it's going to give you. So like, oh, I'm, you know, maybe, you know, you're on the Emacs Devel mailing list and you're like, okay, write this email about this. And here's what I want to say. And here's the kind of tone I want to use. And here's the, like, you might want to specify like everything that you kind of want to get into this. Usually it's easier just to write the email, but I think that practice of kind of understanding what you want is not something you normally do. And I think it's going to be kind of an interesting exercise that will help people understand. That said, I haven't done that much of that, so I can't say like, oh yeah, I've done this and it works for me. Maybe, I think it's an interesting thing to explore.
Sure. Thanks. Let's see. Can you share your font settings in your Emacs config? Those are some nice fonts for reading.
Yeah, I think I was using Menlo at the time. Unfortunately, I don't save those kinds of things, like a history of this. I have kind of switched now to, what was that? I think I wrote it down in the, I switched to Monospace, which just came out like a week or two ago and is also pretty cool. So I think it's Menlo. The eternal question, what font are you using?
Indeed. Yeah. It looks like someone guessed as well that it might be Menlo. Okay. Cool. Next question. In terms of standardization, do you see a need for a medium to large scale effort needed? And then they also elaborate about it.
I do think, I don't know if it's large scale, but at least it's probably medium scale. There's a lot of things that are missing that we don't have right now in Emacs when you're dealing with LLMs. One is a prompting system. And by that, I mean, you know, prompts are just like big blocks of text, but there's also senses that like prompts need to be composable and you need to be able to iterate on parts of the prompt. And so it's, you know, it's kind of customizable. Users might want to customize it. On the other hand, like it's not super easy to write the prompts. So you kind of want really good defaults. So the whole prompt system is kind of complicated. That needs to be kind of standardized because I don't think there's any tools for doing something like that right now. I personally use my system EKG, my note system for EKG. I don't think that's appropriate for everyone, but I did write it to have some of these capabilities of composability that I think are useful for prompt generation. It'd be nice to have a system like that, but for general use. This is something I've been meaning to think about, like how to do it. But like this, you know, if someone's interested in getting this area, like, I would love to chat about that. Or, you know, I think there's a lot of interesting ideas that we could have to have a system that allows us to make progress here. And also, I think there's more to standardization to be done. One thing I'd also like to see that we haven't done yet is a system for standardizing on getting structured output. This is going to be super useful. I have this for OpenAI's API because they support it. And it's really nice because then you can write ELISP functions that are like, okay, I'm going to call the LLM. I'm going to get structured output. I know what that structure is going to be. It's not going to be just a big blob of text. I could turn it into a plist or something, and then I could get the values out of that plist. And I know that way I could I could write actual apps that are very, very sort of useful for very specific purposes and not just for text generation. And I think that's one of the most important things we want to do. And I have some ideas about how to do it. I just haven't pursued those yet. But if other people have ideas, I think this would be really interesting to add to the LLM package. So contact me there.
Awesome. A quick note before we continue. So I'm not sure how long we're going to be on stream for, because this is the last talk before the break. If we are on the stream long term, then great. But if not, folks are welcome to continue writing questions on the pad, and hopefully Andrew will get to them at some point. Or if Andrew maybe has some extra time available and wants to stay on Big Blue Button here, then folks are also welcome to join here and chat with Andrew directly as well. Yep. Let's see. Okay, awesome. So yeah, the next question is, what are your thoughts on the carbon footprint of LLM usage?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. I don't have any particular knowledge or opinions about that. It's something I think we should all be educating ourselves more about. It is, really, there's two parts of this, right? There's a huge amount of carbon footprint involved in training these things. Then running them is relatively lightweight. So the question is not necessarily like once it's trained, like I don't feel like it's a big deal to keep using it, but like training these things is kind of like the big carbon cost of it. But like right now, the way everything's going, like every, the top five or six tech companies are all training their LLMs, and this is all costing, a giant amount of carbon probably. But on the other hand, these same companies are pretty good about using the least amount of carbon necessary. They have their tricks for doing things very efficiently.
Cool. Next question. LLMs are slow in responding. Do you think Emacs should provide more async primitives to keep it responsive? Like the URL retrieve is quite bad at building API clients with it.
Yeah. Well, so first of all, people should be using the LLM client. So right now, one thing I should have mentioned at the top is that there are new packages that I recorded this talk that you just saw like several months ago. And so like eLlama, there's this package eLlama that came out that is using the LLM package. And so it doesn't need to worry about this sort of thing because it just uses LLM and package, and the LLM package worries about this. And while I'm on the subject of things I forgot to mention, I should also just mention very quickly that there is now an open source model, Mistral. And so that's a kind of this new thing on the scene that happened after I recorded my talk, and I think is super important to the community and important that we have the opportunity to use that if we want to. Okay, but to answer the actual question, there has been some talk about the problems with URL retrieve in the URL package in general in Emacs Devel. It's not great. I would like to have better primitives. And I've asked the author, please, PLZ, to kind of provide some necessary callbacks. I think that's a great library. I'd like to see that kind of, it's nice that we have options, and that is an option that uses curl on the back end, and that has some benefits. So there's this big, you know, debate about the, whether, you know, whether we should have primitives or just use curl, or, you know, I'm not exactly sure what the right call is, but it's there has been discussions about this.
Excellent. And someone commented that GPTEL is async and apparently very good at tracking a point. So
Yes. GPTEL has similar functionalities to LLM, although I believe it's going to move to LLM itself sometime soon.
Cool. Next question. Speaking of which, anyone trained or fine-tuned or prompted a model with their org data yet and applied to interesting use cases like planning, scheduling, etc., and maybe care to comment?
I don't know anyone who is doing that. I think it is interesting. Like, this is what I kind of mentioned at the very end of the talk. There is a lot of stuff there. Like, you could, you know, if you especially, you know, an LLM can kind of work as sort of like a secretary kind of person that could help you prioritize. It's a slightly unclear what the best way to use it is. So I think there's more of a question for the community about like what people have been trying. I see someone has mentioned that they are using it for weekly review. And it's kind of nice to like, maybe it could, you know, read your agenda, or maybe this for like weekly review, it could like read all the stuff you've done and ask you questions about it. And like, you know, what should happen next? Or like, is this going to cause a problem? Like, I can understand if that could happen, that's like, that's kind of nice. And this kind of, people have had good success out of using these LLMs to bounce ideas off of, or, you know, for, you know, I've seen people say that like they use it for reading, and they kind of dialogue with the LLM to kind of like do sort of active reading. So you could imagine doing something similar with your tasks, where it's sort of you're engaged in dialogue about like planning your tasks with a LLM that could kind of understand what those are and ask you some questions. I think it'd be nice. The problem is like, there's no great way to share all this stuff. I guess like if you have something like this, like put it on Reddit. If you don't have Reddit, I don't know what to do. I would say put it somewhere. You could, at the very least, I could maybe open up like an LLM discussion session on the LLM package GitHub, but not everyone likes to use GitHub. I don't know. It'd be nice if there's a mailing list or IRC chat for this sort of thing, but there isn't at the moment.
Right. Let's see, I think that's the end of the questions on the pad so far. There was also some discussion or some chatter, I believe, on IRC. I'm not sure. Andrew, are you on IRC right now? Or?
I am, but I don't think I'm on any place that has the chatter. So if there's chatter, then I'm not seeing it.
Okay. Yeah, it was in the emacsconf-dev channel.
Okay, let me see if I can... Oh yes. I mean, I can see the channel, but I've you know, missed whatever came before. So if there's anything you want to kind of call out, I can try to answer it here.
Okay, cool. I believe at least two other folks who are kind of participating in the discussion there, who have also joined here on Big Blue Button, Coding Quark and EonTurn92. So you folks, if you know Andrew is still available and has time, you're welcome to chat here and ask her questions or discuss here as well.
Thank you. Thank you for your help. And thank you for you know, reading all the questions.
Cheers. And thanks to you for a great talk and the discussion.
Yeah, thank you.
Cheers.
So I will wait here and see if there's any questions. If not, I will log off after a few minutes.
I guess since we were mentioned, like that there was a small chat about local LLMs. Because ChatGPT is nice, no, but privacy concerns, and it's not free and stuff. So the question is, yeah. What is the promise for like local models?
Yeah, so like local is definitely,
or at least open source.
Yeah. So okay, so there is a local open source model, Mistral, which you could run. The LLM package allows you to use, I think there's three kind of local things you could use. Like many of these things, there's like many kind of ways to do the same sort of thing. So LLM is supporting Ollama, and Llama CPP, and let's see, one other. Which one is it? And maybe that's it. Maybe this, oh, GPT for all. So each one of these kind of has slightly different functionality. So for example, I think GPT for all doesn't support embeddings. And I hear that Ollama's embeddings are kind of currently broken, but basically they should support everything. And the open source models are the local models are reasonably good. Like, I don't think you'd use them and be like, what is this horrible nonsense? Like, it's, it gives you relatively good results. Like, it's not going to be at the level of like GPT 3.5 or 4, but it's not far away from GPT 3.5, I think. So,
also, are you saying that LLM has like a presets for connecting the actual working servers for Llama?
So you could, what you can do is you could, like, for example, you could download Ollama, which is just a way of setting up local models and running local models on your machine. So typically what it does, you like download a program, let's say Ollama, then Ollama will have the ability to download models. And so you could choose from just a host of different models. Each one of these things has a bunch of different models. So it downloads all these things to your machine. But I would say that the key problem here is that it requires a fairly beefy machine. So
yeah, of course. Why I was asking, because you briefly mentioned that there are some Israeli servers, and I understood it as like they run it like a government or stuff like that.
I maybe said something that sounded like Israeli servers. I
think
there's no government LLMs as far as I know. Although I'm sure the governments are working on their own LLMs, etc. But basically your choices are if you use OpenAI or something or anything else, you're really not spending any money. Like, I've never been able to spend any money on OpenAI. Like, unless you're doing something very intensive and really are using it to you know, if you're using it for your personal use, it's just hard to spend any money. But on the other hand, it's not free. So you can, you know,
it's rather cheap. No, there's no question about that. The problem is that it has a bad track record on privacy.
Yes, I think that is a key problem. This is probably the number one reason why you might want to use a local AI, a local LLM. Another one is, like, you may not agree with the decisions. You know, there's a lot of trust and safety stuff that that these companies have to do. Like, they don't want, like, the LLMs to kind of like give you, like, tell you how you can make meth or, you know, how you can make a bomb, which they would do. They would totally do it. But each time you kind of restrict what is happening with, you know, what you can get out of the LLM, it gets a little worse. So some people want to have local.
That's expected. I guess, like, even open source language models will sooner or later face this because it's simply a legal issue.
I think that's true, but I also think that there probably will be, although I don't know of any offhand, that are completely uncensored. I know people are interested and are running uncensored models. I don't know how to do it. I think it's a little bit dubious, but some people do want to do. There's another reason for using local servers.
Do you have any recommendation for models to run locally and also comments on whether a GPU is required?
Usually a GPU, you can run it without a GPU, but it does run much better. Like, for example, I think when I used Llama is sort of like a standard. This was the model for that Facebook came out with for local use. And it was, it's good. It's, but it's now it's, I think Mistral is kind of like has a better performance. There's also different model sizes. There's like 7B, like the Llama 7B is okay. The Mistral 7B, 7 billion are like, it basically will take like, you can run it with like 16 gigs of RAM. Is is pretty good. It's probably about as equal to the Llama 13b, like those are the number of parameters, if I remember correctly. And then there's like a 70b, which I've never been able to run. And if you, even if the 7b, if you run it without a GPU, it takes quite a while to answer. I think I've had experiences where it took literally like several, like 5 minutes before it even started responding, but you do eventually get something. It could be that like things have gotten better since the last time I tried this because things are moving fast. But it is super recommended to have a GPU. This is the problem. It's like, you know, you have a, it's kind of like, yes, free software is great, but like if free software is requiring that you have these kind of beefy servers and like have all this hardware, that's not great. I think there's a case to be.
With slots instead of a laptop.
Yeah, that's right.
Ideally, it would be nice to like if FSR for all things could run something for open source model, and not free, but the key point is that it's Libre.
Yes. So actually, I think Google does do that. I'll have to look it up, but I haven't explored this yet. But Google's server, which LLM does support, supports arbitrary models. So you can run Llama or things like that. The problem is that even if you're running Mistral, which has no restrictions, so this is the kind of thing that like the Free Software Foundation cares a lot about. Like you want it to be like no restrictions, legal restrictions on you as you run the model. So even if it's running Mistral, just by using the server, the company server, it will impose some restrictions on you probably, right? There's going to be some license that you have to, or some, you know, something you have to abide by. So I think, yes, you depends on how much you care about it, I guess. I should find out more about that and make sure that this is a good point that I should, you know, people should be able to run free models over server. So I should make sure we support that in the LLM package. So is there any other questions otherwise we can end the session? Someone is typing. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everyone who listened. I'm super happy. The interest is great. I think there's great stuff to be done here, and I'm kind of super excited what we're going to do in the next year. So hopefully, like next year in the conference, we have something even more exciting to say about LLMs and how they can be used with Emacs. So thank you, everyone.